Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April 21st in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide as we reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration, and do so in the traditions of our founding fathers. Basically, the supreme law of the land is the key to the solution when it comes to the proper role and management of the greatest country on the face of the earth. But it is about God, family, and country in that order. Make no mistake, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. And man, I haven't been on the radio for quite a while. It's a long story. The last show we did live was on the 11th. What is that, 10 days? Basically, 8 shows, because we don't do broadcasts on the Sabbath. You say, why, Sam? Because we've been traveling all over the country. It's crazy. We went to Florida, then went to Texas. We went to a friend's wedding. It was incredible. We were grateful to be there. Spent some time with some dear family friends. Got that done. And flights and travel and just things beyond our control conflicted with the show so much where we just could not be on the radio. Then we took off from Florida, went to Texas, got involved in some Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association training. So CSPOA.org, become a posse member today, would you please? Anyway, so we did that. And again, the training, helping set up that training and getting all that done, and just conflicts and travel and just, man, just too much going on. But the good news is we're back live on the radio. We should have a lot of great radio shows coming up, and we're back in business. Now, there's so much to talk about, so little time. Let's just welcome Dr. Scott Bradley back to the airwaves with us. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you much, Sam. Hey, you're in fine voice today. You needed 10 days off or something. I don't know what it was, the travel or the resting your vocal cords. I don't know, but you sound good today, so it's good to have you back.
Well, thank you, sir. It is delightful to be back. One of my favorite things is to be on the radio because I get to break down news the networks refuse to use. I get to talk about things that matter most for God, family, and country. I mean, there's nothing more important of a pursuit, in my humble opinion, than to double down on God, family, and country. That's why we do what we do. Otherwise, I could just remain kind of silent in the background and live my life in a very quiet way. And it's kind of against my nature to even try to, you know, be on the front man, so to speak. You know, it's just not my nature, but I feel like it's necessary. And that's why the show's not called the Sam Bushman Show or something. It's Liberty Roundtable, because it's all about the guests. It's all about all the people that sit down at the table and share their knowledge, their wisdom, their viewpoints, their understanding, their beliefs, their commitments, their convictions. I mean, I can go on and on and on, but it's really like the founding father-esque roundtable, modern time, is what we try to achieve. Not that I come close to a founding father. I just want to follow in their footsteps. That's all. But I bring that up because, man, there's so much to talk about. Speaking of the weather, do you guys have a bunch of snow going on still, Doctor, up there?
Well, I'm just looking out the window. It's not snowing this minute, but it's supposed to snow through into the afternoon, which means it'll probably start any second now, and then later on this afternoon it's supposed to turn to rain. But yeah, we've still got some rather unique weather going on still. I mean, I keep thinking spring's going to break.
Kicking in.
It is indeed.
I was watching a TV show last night about these gold, I don't know what you call them, gold seekers. These guys literally go up in the boondocks on the North Pole and this kind of stuff, and Antarctica and such like that, and they truly try to get gold, and they've got to literally dig through, what do they call it, 8 feet of permafrost, I think is how they say it, until you can even get to the sheet where the gold possibly is. And they use these big, incredible, I don't know what you call them, big tractor machines to do different things, to de-rock and to go ahead and try to dig down that far, and it's slippery. It's like a skating rink, a tractor on a skating rink kind of a thing, and it's just crazy down. And these guys are all looking for gold and stuff like that, and I just think, man, that global warming, it would sure help them if it really kicked in, huh, Doctor?
Well, when the permafrost melts, it becomes rather boggy. So I don't know if they'll be good or not, but you're right. This idea of global warming that turned into, well, first it was global, you know, there was a new ice age coming years and years ago, then it turned to global warming. Now it's climate change, so that whatever it does, you can, yeah. You know, what's really interesting to me is the legislative session that just ended in March in Utah spent a great deal of time crafting very wicked bills, in my opinion, that seized unconstitutionally power for the governor to arbitrarily, unilaterally, on his own, declare emergencies for water shortages. I mean, we have had an immense
amount
of...
And in the process, by the way, you know what, use government special, I don't know what you call it, diplomatic immunity or whatever else to be, to where there's no accountability whatsoever, no way to touch that.
Well,
elitist,
absolutely. But here's the deal. The Utah Constitution does not grant or delegate any authority to a governor to have emergency powers. Think about this. The governor, during the pandemic, declared emergencies that shut down our religious worship, our ability to gather, and the issues of businesses, I mean, on and on and on, did lockdown with habeas corpus being suspended, all these kinds of things. Based upon a governor's word, you know, my word is law, thus saith the Lord, you know, and all that kind of stuff. We should be so sick and tired of this. But nonetheless, our arbitrary unilateral legislative body kowtowed again, curtsied, whatever you want to call it, and allowed the governor to have this huge amount of declaratory power to declare emergency for water. Now, of course, water is essential to life. Why can't they declare such an emergency for guns or whatever, too, if they have such a power, which they do not? But here's the interesting thing to me. I think God has a sense of humor. I really do. I think he is probably one of the most delightful individuals to ever share any kind of interaction with, and the humor is one thing. But so here we spent our whole legislative session arguing, debating, discussing, and passing unconstitutional emergency powers for the governor to declare water emergencies because of water shortages and seizing, you know, private property and all those kind of things. No due process. I mean, I can go on and on and on. Don't get me started. But he has just declared another emergency because we got too much water. And so here we are. You can never let an opportunity for an emergency to pass because it solidifies and firms up and makes traditional this idea that they can say and do whatever they please and their word is the law. And it's kind of like what Truman did when he declared, we don't need a declaration of war to go to war in Korea because we have a treaty. Well, none of that is true. You still have to declare war. The treaty cannot take us to war, but they were trying to set a precedent, and that's exactly what these buffoons, baboons, and bozos are doing that do these things to us constantly. So here,
and you
in
know,
Utah,
the watchword for this, Dr. Bradley, whenever this happens, the watchword you need to really kind of think about is, it's the crisis of the day. Okay, that's how they
right.
always try to get you to step aside and allow them to obliterate your rights, trade your liberty for so-called security. It's always this crisis of the day, though, that leads the way. It doesn't matter what it is. It's always a crisis. We got, global cooling. We got global warming. We got climate change. We've got too much water, not enough water, too much this, not enough that, whatever. It's always the crisis of the day that leads the way every time.
That's the problem, is that we the people have become so complicit and compliant that we don't even pay attention to this anymore. And by the way, the Utah Constitution specifically says that no emergency exercise of anything can violate the Constitution. So how does this come into being? The people that are making the laws don't read the Constitution. The Constitution is preeminent, paramount to any legislative actions, and yet and still we continue this inextricable march to tyranny and hell because we are not paying attention. Andy Jackson, in his farewell address, said the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, and nobody's paying attention. I mean, it just, well, I mean, there's a few of us, yeah. We try and wave our arms a lot on the radio, and we talk to people. This isn't just Utah, though. I mean, I bring that up.
It's all over the nation, you know, sadly,
but
true.
It is anywhere, everywhere.
In Texas, they're battling a bunch of sheriff's bills that are trying to basically restrict who can run for sheriff and how they can run and what certifications they have to have and this and that and all this. They're abusing the office of sheriff going on. And sadly, the Texas Sheriff's Association behind a lot of it. But it's just, you find out who are your friends. Very strange as it goes on. But man, the weather down here is crazy. Last night, there was a tornado warning blasted through one area there. And in Texas.
Okay. Yeah, Texas, they're kind of tornado alley. And I was going to say, if you had a tornado where you're living, I want to see it. I want to hear. Well,
yeah,
I don't
no tornado
see it
where
happen,
I'm at. Yeah, they call them microbursts where I live. In Texas, though, they got tornadoes in the northeast portion of the state last night that were tornado threat, warning, whatever you want to call it, was going on. And I don't know the different classifications because I don't live in a tornado zone, so I'm not really educated on all the details except for, Gladewater area. Was the area that was, you know, in a tornado watch for us. We had to drive through a frog strangler bunch of rain while we were coming and all that. But I want to move a little bit from water to food for a second as well, Doctor. When we come back, we'll talk about that because, man, there's just some cool people and cool places that you got to see when you're traveling around the best country on the planet. And we'll talk about that in a second with Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, and yours truly on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then, the more they use the lie, the more they reproduce the lie. The more spiritual power they get. Now look, the media is a lie multiplier. And this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast. That power protects the cells of the beast from prosecution. Why isn't Hillary in prison? She is protected. We must restore our national relationship with God. Truth is sacred in the kingdom, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Isaiah 9:6.
A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Live, ladies and gentlemen, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. We talk about the weather, we talk about food, we talk about everything under the sun, but it's always fantastic radio. I want to talk about your moms. I kid you not, man. I'm driving through a bunch of remote Texas towns on my way from Austin to Houston, and we see a bunch of different places. None of them are impressive. A lot of them are chains. A lot of them are just hometown diners that don't seem to make any sense. But then a restaurant catches my eye called Your Mom's. And I thought, that's fascinating. What's this all about? Turns out that it's a Southern and Cajun comfort food restaurant located in historic downtown Smithville, Texas. You want to learn more about it? Go to yourmoms.net and you can check that out. One of the slogans they have is this: We are not a fast food restaurant. Good, honest food takes time and love. And we walked in. It was the most quaint, picturesque, kind of like a Hallmark town, so to speak. Pretty neat. A lot of older homes, but well-kept and a pretty nice place. We go into this restaurant, and there's the nicest people you will ever meet. And they fed us some of the best food I have ever had. Hometown, homemade, recipes in the family for generations, Cajun food. We had the best eats you can imagine. I don't even know how to describe it, but they had this gumbo. And this lady made it, and her mom was working there. And so she said, oh, my daughter makes that gumbo. And so we talked to the daughter, and she works on it. She has been working on it for her whole life, 20 plus years, perfecting this recipe that her uncle had down in Cajun territory in Louisiana. And she basically has been trying to perfect this recipe. And I said, well, didn't he just give you the recipe? And she said, no, because he'd just make it with a dash of this and a pinch of that and a whatever. And, you know, he couldn't really tell you how to make it. He could kind of just put some of that in there. And so then she said he passed away and they never had the recipe. And she's been trying to perfect it. And she's getting closer and closer to making it perfect. And I said, well, how do you know what to do? And she said, believe it or not, I just start to put the spices over the stove. And it's almost like my uncle. It's almost like my uncle from heaven bumps my hand and puts more in than I would normally put in and this and that. And, you know, then I just kind of work on it. And anyway, it's this family recipe that's been handed down generationally in their family. That's just deliciousness. I'm telling you right now. So if you ever get a chance, ladies and gentlemen, you are near Smithville, Texas. You want to go to a place that says we are not a fast food restaurant. Good, honest food takes time and love. Southern and Cajun comfort food, located in downtown Smithville, Texas, yourmoms.net to learn more. Anyway, Dr. Bradley, these are some of the gems, and I bring this up and spend time on this because these are some of the gems that you mentioned when you were a young man and took off at an early age in your life and became an adult and decided you were going to just see the country on the ground. And you put boots on the ground and traveled the whole country. And you mentioned that they're some of the nicest people on the planet, some of the best people that this country's made of. And I mean, this just is of that ilk, doctor. I don't know how somebody would ever find this place. I found it by happenstance. Just happened to be driving through. Just happened to be looking up restaurants somewhere to go. Just happened to stumble on this weird name. Decided to research it. Just happened to decide we're not too far from it. Let's go see what it's like. And boom, we ended up there. And you know what? God bless these people around the country doing a great job using their talents to bless people's lives. And it's a place of gathering, a place of nourishment. It's not just a place to eat, doctor.
You know, I'm beginning to think you're kind of a foodie, Sam. I mean, and, you know, as I think back on it, when I've been on the road with you, it's really true. And it is a wonderful thing. Food is something that gathers people together. You're able to share a good experience of being with friends and family, as well as gaining some, you know, some satisfaction in nutrition and all that kind of stuff. And you're absolutely right. I still have memories of, you know, traveling the country. Cajun is wonderful food. I delight in it. I've got a really good friend. In fact, he used to work for me years ago that was from Louisiana, and he was a Cajun king. I mean, he could cook that stuff up, and it really is amazing for people that do that the real way. But I have memories from across the country where, you know, I just happened to be in a town at a given time, and this is, you know, they're over 50 years old, and I mean, you know, these old memories, and I still think of them often. You know, times I just give you an example. One time I was in Shortlesville, Pennsylvania, and I decided to stop and get one Saturday morning and get breakfast in the Shortlesville Hotel. I don't know what it's like now, but 55 years ago, whatever it was, holy Hannah. I mean, it was like family style, you know, checkered tablecloths kind of thing. You sat down, all the people that were there kind of mixed and matched, and I was sitting by people that I'd, you know, never met, and man, it was a delightful meal. And of course, as a kid traveling, I didn't get as many, you know, warm meals as I might like. And so I had really chowed down, and I looked up, and the guy across the table was looking at me. He says, you know, I've never seen anybody eat a dozen eggs before, but I've been counting. You've had a dozen eggs. And he told me how many pancakes and how much grits and how much hash browns and, you know, how many rolls and this and that and the other. He says, I'm going to leave. I'm getting sick. But it was so good. Finally, they came to me and they said, sir, you're welcome to stay. But we're going to have to charge you again because we're starting lunch. And it probably saved my life because I would have floundered. But sometimes you just, they've hit it. You know, they hit a home run completely. And so, you know, you're right. Some of these places really are classical. They're all American. And you meet the most amazing people that you just happen to stumble across. And do you remember Charles Kuralt on the road? This was back in the 60s. It's before your time, Sam. But
I know about it, but I'm not super familiar with it. A little bit.
Okay, well, Charles Kuralt on the road, and John Steinbeck, Travels with Charlie, were motivations for me when I was young. Because, you hear about Charles Kuralt reporting on the road, and he'd run into interesting characters, and they were characters. You know, in Montana, somebody that had been an old cowboy. Don't get me started. I knew an old cowboy that had been a cowboy back in the 1800s in Montana, and the stories he'd tell. Anyway, Charles Kuralt made a series of that. In fact, I'd love to resurrect that idea. And if I could ever make enough to live, I'd maybe go do that again. And then John Steinbeck wrote about traveling with his dog across the United States in a kind of a last hurrah. He knew he was dying of heart failure, and he wanted to see America. You know, the old
and the good news is
stuff.
I'm not dying of heart failure, and I'm traveling with my son-in-law, not my dog. But hey, you know what? It's good. It's good stuff. Anyway, this restaurant was impressive, and one of the things that I found fascinating, it's called Your Mom's Southern and Cajun Comfort Food. It's a restaurant located in historic downtown Smithville, Texas. YourMoms.net is the website. Now, the reason that I bring this whole thing up is the last thing the girl said to me, pretty much, or this lady said to me, is, you know what? Thank you so much for saying that you really love the gumbo. I've put my heart and soul into this. And the mom, before the daughter came out, was the one serving us. And so she told us, you know, that her daughter made it and all this kind of stuff. And I just thought, you know what? You work on this recipe for 20 years because it's a household handed down through generations. And that's the way liberty needs to be handed down as well, Doctor. This isn't just about a food thing, although I am a foodie. There's no question about it. But this is about time-honored traditions that are valuable and good. You know, we jettison traditions when they're evil and destructive. But when traditions are healthy, godly, family-oriented, country tradition, we want to hold on to those, and they're passed down. Liberty is passed down. It's a feeling. It's an understanding. It's something in your soul. Just like food and good friends and loyalty, and these things are passed down by example. Liberty is a thing that can be passed down from heart to heart, from willing hand to willing hand, Doctor.
You know, you mentioned that, and it's so true. In fact, the genesis of the book, you know, we talk about my book, To Preserve the Nation, was a discussion I had. A very good old friend of mine that's long since dead now. But he and I talked about this, you know, preserving liberty, and I had been kind of badgering him a little bit, getting him a little bit more involved and so on. And he says, you know, Scott, he says, I'll tell you something. He says, unless we teach these principles in our homes, we will lose them. He says, you, as important as these are, you can't learn them and have them really settle upon you unless you're in your home. And, you know, it's so true. The public education system is abominable at it. And rarely do you find someone that has the passion for it. But the fact of the matter is, the home is where you must teach it. And that's why I wrote my book and the lecture series. We can talk more about
To Preserve the Nation, ladies and gentlemen, available at freedomsrisingsun.com. I'm going to tell you the rest of this story about yourmoms.net in seconds on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Lance Pry. President Biden delivers remarks this morning about building healthy communities and announcing new actions to advance environmental justice, according to their press release. Later this afternoon, Biden will leave the White House for Camp David. The abortion pill's fate is in the hands of the Supreme Court. The highest court in the land is expected to issue a ruling today.
The decision on the commonly used abortion pill should be ready before the end of the day, according to the High Court. It is set to come after the court extended a temporary stay on a Texas federal judge's ruling to halt production and distribution of mifepristone. Justice Samuel Alito issued the temporary stay on Wednesday, ensuring that mifepristone would remain widely available while the Supreme Court decides whether to grant a formal stay. The drug was originally approved by the FDA in 2000 and has been used by over 5 million women since. I'm Skip Kelly.
Russian state media is reporting a Russian warplane dropped ammunition onto the Russian city of Belgorod this morning. The incident left two women injured. The Russian Defense Ministry said that an Su-34 supersonic bomber was flying over the city when an emergency ejection of an air ordnance occurred. Belgorod is between Moscow and the Black Sea. The New York Post is reporting Attorney General Merrick Garland is the unnamed official whose sworn testimony before Congress is being challenged in a bombshell letter from an IRS whistleblower. Through his attorney, the whistleblower says they have evidence of a cover-up in the Hunter Biden criminal investigation. That investigation has stalled for years since evidence was first found on Hunter Biden's forfeited laptop. Attorney Mark Lytle on Fox News.
He's not coming here with a political agenda. He's been at the IRS for more than 10 years, and now he's a supervisory special agent. He's actually been trusted as an assistant special agent in charge in other cities and trusted with international investigations and working with other countries' tax enforcement.
This is USA News.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Hey, good morning. You're heading to the airport, right?
Yep, thanks for checking. I like the car. How long have you been a rideshare driver?
About 3 years now, but I really enjoy it.
Isn't it hard to make money these days with the price of gas being so high?
Not for me. I use Upside, the free app that gives you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get real money back when you get gas with the Upside app?
Yep, I get real cash back every time I get gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make around $200 to $300.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code HOOD for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code HOOD for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code HOOD.
All right, back with you live, Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, and yours truly on your radio, Sam Bushman. Hope you're doing all absolutely fantastic. I know I am. Yourmoms.net, we're talking about a restaurant in a place called Smithville, Texas, a hometown restaurant. It ain't no fast food, people. I'm telling you right now, it is delicious, slow-cooked, just phenomenal. Anyway, and so this lady said, I put my heart and soul into it, and I thought that was fascinating. Because it really shows she was giving tribute to her grandpa, who originally had the recipe, and then she kind of learned part of it from him as a youngster, helping him with it and everything, and then over time, he passed away, and she didn't really have the recipe, and she's like, well, I kind of know how to make this, but then she worked on it. And embedded in this food, Dr. Bradley, I'm a foodie, there's no question about it, let's not hide that fact, but in this whole discussion, to me, it's a lot more than food. In this was a turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. It was a desire to understand their ancestors and carry on these God-ordained traditions and such like that. Well, anyway, so then the food was so good. We ordered a couple of things, and the food was so good there was something else we wanted to try. And we didn't buy it at first because we just didn't know how good the restaurant was, and I just didn't want to spend a bunch of money on stuff that we didn't probably need, but we really wanted to try. But the food was so incredible that I'm just like, okay, we need to try this. And so we explained that to the lady and said, we're willing to buy this too. Can you please add this to our bill or whatever? She said, absolutely. And went and got us these specialty sausages that they have. And that makes sense when you're eating gumbo and sausage and, you know, this home-cooked stuff. And so she brought us this, and it was absolutely delicious. So we walk up to the counter at the end, And they said, hey, what can we do for you? Because they were surprised we're standing at the counter. You know, most people just get up and leave when they're done, you know. But we said, hey, we're supposed to pay for these sausages that we got. And I think they were a little bit surprised that we didn't just leave and try to not pay, number one. But then number two, the daughter came out and she's, you know what, since you love my gumbo so much, I appreciate the compliment. The sausages are on us this time. And I said, no, we can't have that, ma'am. Thank you so much, but we got to pay you. And she said, you know what I want you to do then? If you won't just take it, then what if you pay it forward, she says. And I thought, you know what, this is my kind of people. Right now, I said, I'm going to pay it forward in multiple ways. Number one, I'm going to do something kind for somebody like you're asking me to do with the difference in dollars or whatever else. But number two, I said, I'm actually a politically syndicated talk show host. And her eyes got big. Really? I said, yeah. So I gave her my card to prove it to her. I've got this digital card that you can scan, doctor, and it puts my show and my phone number and my name and links to the broadcast and everything all on your phone in an instant. Just one quick scan and boom, you got it all from this digital card that I have. And so I let her scan that. And then I said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay it forward. I'm going to jump on the radio and I'm going to talk about and promote your restaurant. And she was shocked. She was just like, wow. And so we kind of made a friend that day, yesterday, in my opinion. I mean, I consider those people friends because then I said, you know, it's a talk show you might not really like. It's pretty hardcore. Here's how it is. If it's constitutional, I love it. And if it's not, I hate it. And she goes, I like that. Just like most people in America do. And so I think what we've really got is this educational opportunity like no other to share the love of food and family and friends and stability and festivity and all mixed together into this heart and soul agenda, which is God, family, and country. It's liberty, it's food, it's companionship, it's honor, it's trust, it's loyalty, it's, you know what, when we do a deal with a handshake, it's our word means something. It's all these principles rolled into, I guess in this case, some gumbo stew. I'm just telling you, pretty neat stuff. And it was when she wanted me to pay it forward, I just thought, I'm going to pay it forward in a big way for reals. And I'm going to do so in a way that matters. And so, you know what, if you ever go into that restaurant, any of you, tell them, just say, man, I heard this on this radio show. They love the gumbo and try it out. And then you can tell them, so do we, because I know you will. But anyway, try that out. And, but I thought that was fascinating about her pay it forward idea and her willingness to be so kind to us. They could have easily just charged us the money and said nothing and went along. But there became an exchange that brings people together, doctor. And this relates to my Call for Civility website, too. You know, they were so kind to me, I just wanted to run around and spread kindness everywhere. And that's what we're talking about, doctor.
You know, that civility thing, I think you'll find that most generally people are really pretty good at heart. That's what I found all my years of traveling around the country. And, you know, you just kind of, it's amazing. You get past an initial, maybe a shell or a resistance to, you know, you just, you know, you don't, everybody doesn't run up and hug each other instantly. But, you know, let's just take, for example, New York. I've spent quite a bit of time in New York and the pressing crowds and they've got this kind of thing about, you know, New Yorkers are cold and distant and all that kind of stuff. And I remember one time when I got to know some New Yorkers. I mean, initially it's kind of like there's a little bit of more personal space you need to give them because, you know, everybody's intruding on everybody else's personal space and they just don't want to have eye contact or interaction vocally or anything like that. And, you know, I'd like to kind of get to know people a little bit. Anyway, after a little bit of effort, I found them to be some of the most delightful, warm, caring, and they're just absolutely giving people that, like you talk about in this little, you know, mom's place that you were just at, that give people a chance. And here's the problem that we have is that the major media, I don't know what you want to call them, the lame brain media is what I do oftentimes, they foster a kind of us versus them kind of thing, the police against the people, men versus women, you know, the idea of the socioeconomic classes, labor versus, oh, yeah, that's Marxist in the whole thing, isn't it? It's a divisionary kind of approach to life where it's conflict-based, and they're trying constantly to give kind of to fractionalize everything and cause division to the point that ultimately and finally society breaks down. And I think what you're suggesting and talking about is let's go out and get to know each other. Let's quit this six-foot separation. We can't get together. We can't worship together. We can't go to people's businesses. All of that kind of stuff is just part of fractionalizing society. And it's been on steroids the last 37 months or so, whatever it's been. And you just had an opportunity to go out and see that we don't need to have great divisions among ourselves. And this little incident you had is just a microcosm of what we ought to be doing constantly, I think, you know.
Amen to that, Dr. Bradley. And anyway, I spend probably too much time on that, but I really believe this matters, though. You know, a lot of times we talk about hardcore politics and, hey, we're off this and we're down in that and we're against that, and for a lot of reasons, because it's a pretty target-rich environment. But at the same time, I want people to know that we are human. We are people. We do care. We, you know what? Trust matters. Kindness matters. I really want to spend time on kind of the things that matter the most, oftentimes. And so that's kind of why we spend so much time on this, is it lets people know kind of behind the scenes what we do in our personal time, what we prize as our governing values, what we try to foster and promote. There's a lot of good that we promote, people. It's not just the negative and we're off this and against everything. The more they move towards communism and socialism, the more I will be against everything. The more they move to God, family, and country, the more I'll just be yay, yay, instead of nay, nay on everything. Keep that in mind as we stand for things that are valuable, things that are of great worth, the finer things, the better the greater things. All right, there's a question that we're asking people lately, Dr. Bradley, that I thought I'd give you a shot at. And that is this: what do you consider to be the greatest threat to our people, to our country, to our society, to our lives, to our liberties? What do you consider to be the greatest threat? And in this target-rich environment, that's a tough question, sir.
Well, it is, and I think you'd have a very broad spectrum of things, and it just kind of in a way harkens back to when I was being grilled, I guess you could call it that, about whether or not I was going to be put on a jury. And the question was, you know, because they're trying to see who they eliminate and who they don't, you know. And the question was, who in history would you prefer to meet over anybody else? You know, you could probably imagine, George Washington came to mind, and James Madison. And I mean, you know, you think about some of these, Robert E. Lee's. I mean, you think about some of the monumental people that have been through history. But no. It was Jesus Christ. And that was my answer. And, I mean, think of who you would like to meet most of all in all of history and try and sort through that in a quick, you know, exercise and come up who that might be. But I got eliminated from the jury pool. They didn't want somebody that was that religious, I guess, that was judging their client. Anyway, you think about that. We have a lot of things that challenge us, but I think that the peace can come when we have the right focus and kind of an eternal perspective. And so I think that's a threat to us, because everything else falls into place if we don't have that eternal perspective. I don't know. Maybe
you're listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me. FreedomsRisingSun.com.
Your call is being transferred to the listening ear. Listening professionals dedicated to hearing you.
Hello, listening ear. Who am I listening to?
Carrie, but I was calling my mom.
Yes, you were, but your mom was so busy she felt it was important for you to have someone who could completely focus on listening to you and you alone. So she subscribed to our service. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Where to start? Well, I can listen to school issues like science projects. I can listen to boy problems, although that's an extra $3 per call because of the emotional drain on me. How about we start with how you wish you had made cheerleader?
I didn't try out for cheerleader.
This isn't Mary?
Carrie. I'm Carrie.
Oh, sorry.
There is no substitute for a loving parent. And when you really listen, love is what they'll hear. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
When I'm asked what is the most critical threat we face as the American people, as families, as citizens of the greatest country on the face of the earth, I'm reminded of the great points George Washington made in his farewell address about religion and morality are the two great supports, Doctor. You know, you can look at the Federal Reserve and say it's a problem, no question. You can look at education and say it's a problem, no doubt. You can look at the IRS. You can look at all kinds of international treaties that are trying to breach the sovereignty of the United States and replace the supreme law, etc. You can look at bureaucrats that are undermining us for elections and for filthy lucre and for, you can look at a gazillion things. But at the end of the day, I really believe it comes back to these two great pillars of support, religion and morality. We've let that slip in America. And as long as we let that slip in America, the country will slip right along with it. Eventually, it will just fall off into the abyss. And the only way to bring it back is to bring back religion and morality. So I used to say, I think the education department is one of the biggest threats we need to get rid of. I used to say the IRS and the Federal Reserve, and those things are true. They're serious threats, no doubt about it. They'll eventually destroy the country. But they are the effect, not the cause, Doctor. The cause is this slide or backslide, whatever you want to call it, in religion and morality. In the people, in the families, in parents teaching children at home. You mentioned right before one of the pauses that it's in the home that these things must be taught or they will be lost. I agree 100%. The family, the fundamental unit of society is the core here. But I bring all that up to say I believe that religion and morality and the divorce we have as individuals and families from that at large in America is the primary threat, Doctor.
Of course, those would fit under, I mean, I have to agree with you because they fit under that category of getting on the right side of God, if you will. You know, there's a point at some point, if we get a second, maybe I could find it easily, firstly and quickly, but Calvin Coolidge made a great statement about a nation never gets ahead of its religion. And you know, you can be great in a lot of things. You can have a great army, or you can be very economically powerful, or you can have some things that people envy in any number of ways. But if you can never get ahead, a nation can never get ahead of its religious belief system, because that's the only thing that keeps things in check. I mean, in fact, Tocqueville, when he was traveling America, he observed that Americans didn't have a law against everything. I mean, see, he'd come from France, and in France it was untethered. He had to make a law specifically to prevent a violation of something that was going to be detrimental to society. And he says America doesn't have that. It's interesting, he said, and what he discovered was that Americans were tethered to God. They had this internal compass. They didn't have to go out. You know, you see or hear that statement, oh, there ought to be a law. And, well, you know, maybe our eternal law, it can be the kind of the divining rod, if you will. That almost sounds a little bit New Age. But it can be the divining rod for the right path. And so I just sometimes wonder If we it couldn't be a lot simpler if we just followed those basic principles without having to, you know, go to our legislature and pull the levers of government in a certain way that ultimately and finally would be creating a bigger tyranny over us all, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I think you're right. Religion and morality, absolutely. They fit under the umbrella, or maybe it fits under that umbrella. I don't know. But this divine focus, I think, has got to take some more precedence in our lives, or we're going to be in a pretty bad way, you know. So anyway, I don't know. It's a good thought. I think we got to do some introspection and start giving some consideration to that.
One of the good news pieces a little bit, though, Doctor, is three representatives introduced what they call the gold standard to stabilize the dollar's value in America. No longer would American families be suffering in the economy as they literally are at the mercy of the Federal Reserve. You know what? The reckless Washington standards have created a serious problem indeed. Representatives, what's this guy's name? Alex Mooney, I think is how you say his name. You've got Alex Mooney. You got Paul Gosar and Andy Biggs, both of Arizona. They've introduced what's called H.R. 2435, the Gold Standard Restoration Act. It's to facilitate a tying of the dollar to gold. Upon passage of H.R. 2435, the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve would be required to publicly disclose all gold holdings and then to lock the amount. The Federal Reserve note has lost significant value over the years, Doctor, more than 40% of its purchasing power since the year 2000, and 97% of its purchasing power since 1913. This Restoration Act, H.R. 2435, would basically try to restore this, try to preserve this, try to bring this back. These are great efforts that we ought to applaud and support, Doctor.
Well, they are, and it's interesting to me that, you know, the Senate and the House and all those people that do these kinds of things and have destroyed our economy by turning it over to a privately owned for-profit corporation called the Federal Reserve starting back in 1913. You talk about the degradation of our economy and our purchasing power of the dollar by 97%. I thought it was closer to 98, but I'll go with 97. That's as bad as I'd like to see it happen. But all of these kinds of things the Founding Fathers had in mind when they said, you know, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5, Congress shall have power to coin money. Coin, if you look it up in the 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary, you'll discover has to do with stamping precious metal. Has nothing whatsoever to do with printing fiat money. That's money declared by the government to be legal currency, if you will. And in fact, in a discussion that happened in the Federal Convention of 1787 in August, they discussed these unbacked writs, they called them. And they said if that was allowed at the general government level, it would be as dangerous as the mark of the beast spoken of in the book of Revelation. That's an exact quote coming out of their debates. So, yeah, we need to recur regularly to these baseline principles. And when we have abandoned them is when we kind of become a ship at sea without a rudder or sails. And America needs to go back and recur to these things. I got to tell you, I've known some very, very, very senior banking officials. I have been in their office when they've set their exchange rates and all this. It's a by the seat of the pants kind of thing. They do it, well, of course, they have knowledge of what they're basing their decision on, but it's a look at the ceiling, feet on the desks, and set the interest rate or whatever. And these guys are just mortal beings, and they're flying by the seat of their pants. But I've been with them. They say, oh, there's not enough gold in the country to back things with gold. And, oh, the country would collapse completely. You know, but we need a recentering. And that happened under Andy Jackson in his administration when he was able to veto the renewal of their old Federal Reserve back in his administration. Biddle, Nicholas Biddle, who was the Federal Reserve chairman of their day, threw a temper tantrum, an economic temper tantrum, threw the nation into a great upheaval economically, settled out pretty quickly, the dust settled, and we went forward stronger and better than we were before. I'm sure there would be some cataclysmic event that the bankers of the world would try to throw, but if we retied it back to something that could not be arbitrarily inflated, like these digital currencies that they're putting out, these central bank issued digital currencies, holy cow, if you think it's bad with paper, wait until they get a hold of our financial throats with that kind of stuff. Yeah, we need to recur back to what made us the greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous, most respected nation on earth, and it's by going back to these things, not by trying to invent a new wheel. So I applaud these actions that are being taken by some of these individuals. I don't expect they'll be received with great applause, but we need to make them popular, and we need to help our representatives see the value of signing on to this idea.
All right, there you have it. I think the Federal Reserve is a serious threat to the United States of America. I also think the education in America is one of the greatest threats. As you can tell, even the FBI and the Justice Department are doubling down against soccer moms and concerned parents about their children in local school meetings. This just shows you how sinister top-down education, how abusive and hostile and hate-filled top-down government-controlled education has become. After all, it comes out of the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. Let's not mince words. But what we need to do is jettison that. The Republicans have been promising this for literally generations, Doctor, since the 80s or whatever.
70s.
70s. We need to really double down and jettison this education thing. Parents have got to get back education. If we can't get rid of government schools entirely, we at least need to first off get the federal government out of it. Secondly, the states out of it, and leave it to the counties and to the people respectively, Doctor. This has got to happen if we ever have a prayer. As you mentioned, the answers are teaching the proper principles and values in the home. But undermining this is our government right now.
Well, yeah, the government thinks that if they allowed homeschooling, oh, heaven forbid, they would not be able to, these are their words, protect the children as well as they should. See, they want to protect the children from the tradition, the faith traditions of their founding fathers and their fathers and mothers that even exist today. There, we've been on this public education kick for so long that it's become the greatest power for atheism that's ever existed on the earth. And so even some of the fathers and mothers today don't have a sound foundation, and they need to look more farther back. But absolutely, get the government out of it. The founding fathers talked about, in fact, the first draft constitution in May of 1787 that they came up with included an educational element for the federal government. The general government is how I call it. But anyway, the federal government was to have a footprint in education. By the time they rolled around after a long, hot summer of debate in September and signed it, there was no power for educational intervention allowed to the general government. And so they thought it through. They threw it out. And we got to go back to that. And by the way, there's a bill, 734, I think it was, H.R. 734, that would change Title IX to say that, you know, federal funds will not be given to anybody that allows, you know, sports for guys to play in girls' sports. Well, Biden's got the exact opposite position. But the fact of the matter is, there should be nothing in the general government for passing out money for this. It's just absurd. Anyway, sounds like we're at the end of the hour, for crying out loud. I can't believe we run out of time so fast.
Hard-hitting talk is always riveting, ladies and gentlemen, especially when it's real, when it's live, and when good, honest, hard-working Americans want to promote the principles of God, family, and country, it becomes serious in a hurry. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. You want to learn more about the incredible curriculum from Dr. Scott Bradley? Check it out. To Preserve the Nation, found at freedomsrisingsun.com. That's freedomsrisingsun.com. For Sam Bushman and Loving Liberty Radio, lovingliberty.net, God save the Republic of the United States of America.